Again, thank you everyone for joining us for today's State of HSR and Query Cyber Seminar. Our presenters today, our first presenter is Dr. Amy Kilborn. She is the Executive Director of Health Systems Research, and she is joined by Melissa Braganza, the Director of the Quality Enhancement Research Institute. Amy, can I turn things over to you?
Absolutely. Thank you, Heidi, and thanks to everyone who's here today. We're very excited to provide a state of HSR and a state of query and our recent updates and impacts as well. You can go to the next slide, please. So I want to give a brief overview of where we are and where we're going, and also talk a little bit about our impacts, and then briefly cover some new directions that really span not just health systems research and query, but also span the greater VA research community as well. But just to give a brief overview of who we are and what we do, HSR is a broad portfolio in the ISRM Investigator Scientific Management and Research portfolio. It's a broad portfolio focused on learning health systems related research. And we fund research focused on cross-cutting conditions or settings that improve veteran health. Now, recently, our HSR priorities were expanded in last year to encompass cross-translational learning health system methods and veteran quintuple aim goals. Cross-translational learning health system methods include many familiar methodologies such as implementation science, data science, informatics, system science, the science of end user stakeholder engagement, and policy analysis, policy science as well. And veteran quintuple aim goals are very important to HSR because, again, we study the organization and delivery of healthcare to ensure and make sure that veterans are getting better. And the way we measure that is our using a quintuple aim framework, which is improved access, improved equity, improved outcomes such as quality and safety, improved experience both at the patient and provider level, and also value or improved efficiency of care as well. Finally, our major cross VA HSR initiatives have always included query. Query's been with us for the past 25 years. We're very excited to also, you know, continue that relationship and really harmonize further between the work that HSR and query is doing. It also includes evidence-based policymaking. Thanks to query, you know, through HSR and query, we are one of the primary stewards of the VA's fulfillment of the Evidence-Based Policymaking Act, and Melissa will talk a lot more about that. Then finally, we'll be highlighting some expanded areas that we're working on that expand translational boundaries, and that includes our new consortia of researcher cores, which are designed to foster impacts and also curate knowledge and data related to particular priority topic areas that impact veterans. But in doing so, that really is beyond just health services research, but covers the translation spectrum. Next slide, please. So in a nutshell, what we fund and our mission is that HSR supports groundbreaking science that addresses national VA priorities in order to improve veteran care access, outcomes, equity, experience, and value using foundational learning health system methods and implementation, data engagement systems, and policy. And for further information about our framework and our mission, you can look at the link to the paper below. Next slide, please. So I'm going to give some high-level examples of how we define our priorities in HSR. Many of you have been funded by HSR or also know about our scientific program management team, so you know that we do a lot of different things, but we also look to broad cross-cutting issues at the high level. So just to give you a few examples from our VA strategic planning process that we've been involved with, thanks in part to the Query Center for Evaluation and Implementation Resources, there are really some three areas I like to really highlight as I think are going to be with us in the long term as key priorities in terms of figuring out how to improve the health system and improve veteran care. The first is focused on aging. VA is caring for an older population that's requiring a more age-friendly healthcare system. That's going to be an important aspect of what we study in health systems research. In addition, what's also been on the horizon is the complexities around the different payment models of healthcare for older veterans. So there's ongoing complexities associated with, for example, veterans who have both Medicare and VA or VA coverage and the issues that might come up in terms of potential for duplication and things like that. In addition, we also are focused more on benefits. So this is actually a fairly new area for us in terms of research. For a long time, research and the Veterans Benefits Administration never really talked to each other, but that's changing. And part of that reason why it's changing is because of HSR's leading role in really looking at social determinants of health. So veterans, for example, are increasingly diverse and mobile. They often are coming from different backgrounds. They live around the United States. They may move around into different parts of the country. And they're also coming home with new war-related illnesses and injuries. We've seen that for the past 20 years with the the different wars that we've been involved with. But they also come home with unique skills and experiences, given the fact that they've also been fighting modern wars. And that this is actually a very important opportunity to think about how can we structure benefits for veterans that they've always depended on, such as education benefits, not only healthcare benefits, but employment benefits and also housing benefits. And to what extent are the benefits themselves potential vehicles by which we can improve health outcomes over time? In addition, community care or VA purchased care is increasingly becoming an important topic to study. And what's particularly important here is that there's been a growth in the cost of community or purchased care that have been added to the fixed cost of within VHA system care. So essentially, we have a lot of veterans getting community care. We also have veterans, or we have been hiring a lot of providers to serve veterans in VA clinic walls. But that has also, in combination, has posed a number of budget challenges for VA leadership. This has been very poignant recently, given the budget challenges that VHA is facing. But we need to figure out ways in which we can improve the value and efficiency of both community and VA in-house care as well. Now, for more information on how HSR sets its priorities, you can see the two papers, one by Melissa Braganza and then the other by Tara Beck, and you can learn a lot more about the process by which we set priorities. Next slide, please. So our top priorities in terms of what we're thinking of in the next few years and tackling, the first is improving quality of VA purchased care, or what's been termed value-based care. And these are priorities that have been identified by the Undersecretary's Office, as well as Discovery Education Affiliate Networks, or the Dean Program Office, and also from additional surveys as well. An additional priority is modernize VA care to improve access and efficiency, such as basically incorporating new digital health or artificial intelligence tools, such as ambient dictation, as well as new care coordination models. A third priority that's on the horizon is reducing disparities for at-risk veteran populations. And again, the aging population, as well as veterans facing housing or economic insecurity issues, homelessness, and so forth. Next slide, please. So now I want to cover some key HSR impacts. And really, at this stage, I first want to highlight our scientific program managers and our staff who have done enormous amounts of work in a challenging time to really forge new directions in health systems research. And then I'll talk about impacts amongst our investigators in the field. But I really want to give a shout out first to Amanda Borski, who has done a ton of work in promoting women's health research and women's health initiatives, has spoken at military women veterans conferences this past week, and has worked on the White House executive order for women's health research as well. I also want to give a shout out to Crystal Henderson, who is a member of the council at the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities as a council member, and also was one of the leading SPMs with our LGBT plus research initiative with the National Program Office as well. In addition, we have Christine Nguyen, who's done fantastic work in really laying the foundation for our portfolio transition from a service to a portfolio in health systems research and looking at ways in which we can craft our strategic planning. That work foundationally led us to the Learning Health System Framework as well. Next slide, please. So some additional shout outs I want to give to Tara Beck, who's the scientific program manager for Query, but also has stepped in to cover as we've been down a few staff in HSR, and also has been taking a leading role with priority setting across the different portfolios, most notably in her work in setting or helping to set priorities for pain and opioid use research by garnering input from veteran engagement councils, as well as frontline providers, and developing a system for doing that. I also want to really acknowledge Amelia Schlack's work. She has led the state-of-the-art conference in nursing, and most recently is also leading one for aging as well. And finally, Kathy Plozek, who's done amazing work, especially with the collaborations or the pain management laboratory with NIH and DOD, and has really helped spearhead a lot of great research in health services focused in this important area as well. Next slide, please. So I also want to lend my congratulations officially to Melissa Braganza, who is our new Query Director. Really excited to have her in this role. She's been acting director of Query for the past year and really has been spearheading a lot of our strategic planning for both HSR as well as Query, and also has done a lot of work on improving the way we present and communicate our impacts overall. Next slide, please. And then also, as hot off the press, is our Undersecretary's Award for this past year. It's to Dr. Daniel Hall at the VA Pittsburgh, the Center for Health Equity Research and Promotion, who's done a ton of amazing work on age-friendly health system and surgical pause, and has also a very, very accomplished background. So later on in this coming year, we'll be having a joint celebration like we did last year for all the awardees across ISRM and ORD, so he'll be joining us as well. Next slide. So then I want to give some other examples of some HSR and Query impacts with our VA operations partners in particular. So I'm just highlighting a few of these here. It's just like our staff. I don't have enough time to highlight all the wonderful things our staff does. I definitely don't have enough time to highlight all the wonderful things all of you do as health services researchers, but just want to highlight a few key examples. All of these really point to a very important way we measure impact, which is our research helping to shape or inform new programs and policies nationally to help veterans? So it's this idea that we're making a national impact on programs and policies. So a couple of examples, including one has been on informing our House Veterans Affairs Committee inquiry on the cost effectiveness of VA care. So doing a number of work, primarily led by PEPRIC and others, that have really looked deeply at the cost of VA care and staffing models as well. They've also been in a process of doing some deep analyses along with HERC and other groups to look at Medicare Advantage and VA healthcare spending. In addition, we have the VA National Surgery Office has incorporated the HSR Query surgical pause practice that I mentioned that Dr. Hall and others have been involved with as well. In addition to that, we've had the Office of Rural Health adopt the Advanced Comprehensive Diabetes Care Program that came out of our health services research work as well. And then new quality measures focused on lung cancer screening for the VA National Program Office for lung cancer screening as well. And then finally, virtual pain education and self-management has been adopted by the PMOP program, Pain Management, Opioid Safety, and Prescription Drug Monitoring Program. This has been amazing work with Dr. Alicia Heapy and others in this world of really making sure that we're not just focused on reducing opioid use, but improving the way we treat pain that's experienced by our veterans. Next slide, please. So looking ahead, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, where we're essentially focused on now and what we hope the future will hold for health systems research. As I mentioned, we've expanded our HSR priorities. We have essentially a very broad conceptual framework now based on the learning health system. That's also being informed by priorities that are used in the query process for strategic planning. We are involved in VA strategic planning processes, and we asked at multiple levels of leadership, what's keeping you awake at night? And we asked our leaders and frontline providers and veterans, essentially, what would you like to see in terms of research? And we really try to consolidate that information into a set of priorities to work on. In addition, we are very much focused on essentially fulfilling requirements such as legislative mandates for new studies, which has been increasingly an important area for ORD in general, and really HSR Query are leading the way in doing a lot of studies based on legislative mandates as well. In addition, we have 3 new centers of innovation. We have a total of 20 now. We have new centers of innovations located in Nashville, New York Harbor, and San Francisco. So we're very thrilled and excited to be expanding our footprint of our coins. In addition, we've had a number of great consortium research areas that have been funded, including opioid pain and also suicide prevention, access to care, virtual care. We now have 2 new consortium research that are about to begin. One's focused on nursing research, and the other is focused on veteran housing and economic security. And then in addition, it's also important to note, and you can look these up in the other cyber seminars we've been giving, a lot of them lately, about the new RFAs and NOSAs of special interest. Health systems research is well represented across our ISRM, across our competitively funded research portfolios. For example, mental health services research is being moved to the brain, behavioral, mental health broad portfolio. But if you look at the other notices of special interest, all of them, or I would say most of them, I should say, include a lot of focus on health systems research, implementation science, data science, and so forth. And finally, I want to point out the learning health system and why we focus in this area. I think increasingly the learning health system is being used as a model nationally in other health systems to figure out how we can actually improve patient care and also continuously improve the way we do our research. But it's also an opportunity to really convey to our partners in biomedical science, for example, that essentially, you know, that we're talking not a pipeline anymore, that we don't end with health services research. That's not the end of a research career, that essentially we want to think conceptually that this is a continuous cycle of research. That oftentimes when you're doing research in a learning health system, when you're out there doing the health services research, the surveillance work, the implementation work, you're likely to discover new gaps in quality or outcomes of veteran care. Those gaps really afford additional research and discovery that could inform future biomedical related research. So the idea is really that we're not a pipeline where it ends with health services research and we're done. It's more a continuous cycle where the health services research can in turn inform new areas of discovery for our biomedical scientist friends. Next slide, please. So ways in which we think about this is a three-part slide, and if you look to the left, what we really are describing in the left here in this circle diagram is Dr. Rachel Ramoni's conceptualization of a learning health system, the goals of a learning health system around leadership, quality improvement simultaneously done with research, having a good governance to support that research and quality improvement, and essentially doing the data and analytics to support that overall learning health system. So our HSR foundational methods support how ORD learning health system goals can achieve veteran quintuple aim outcomes for a given priority. So again, on the left is really the big picture of how ORD envisions the goals of a learning health system. In the middle, the way in which HSR and Query contribute to that is through the science of end user engagement. We have a national network of veteran engagement groups across our points and cores, for example, who can be tapped in to give input on study design as well as research priorities. We have enormous talent in understanding and using population level data to understand gaps in quality and outcomes of care in order to pursue new research and quality improvement interventions. And having done research in quality improvement and implementation science, both in HSR and Query, you really get that sense that you're studying new ways of implementing and then applying those new ways of implementing using Query. And in doing so, really creating what we consider continuous repeatable cycles of research. So you start with, for example, the data modeling and the needs assessments we do on the ground, and we understand what the gaps are, why those gaps in quality exist. We then do data to knowledge, which is basically the clinical trials, the evidence syntheses, and the cohort studies to understand the reasons for those gaps in quality. And then knowledge to performance is the phase in which you basically apply implementation or policy interventions to reduce those gaps in quality and care. And then overall, that implementation process in turn informs new discovery, because you ultimately, by participating and actively engaging in the real world, you start identifying new problems that need to be solved. And so the final figure on the right here is really the conceptual framework in our latest paper that describes the HSR foundational learning health system approach in our priority setting process. Next slide, please. So some examples of HSR research topics that really start blending into the rest of the translation spectrum and using a learning health system approach could be, for example, in system science, like how can referral to VA purchase or community care be optimized to enable veterans to receive high quality care? How can user-centered design, which is an increasingly popular concept in the implementation science world, be applied to reduce frontline provider burnout and improve engagement, co-design, in other areas in terms of both veterans and providers to improve VA care efficiency? How can we best support provider use of genomic data in clinical decision-making, which is a very important topic? We have the Million Veteran Program and ORD. We have increased number of providers accessing genomic data in the electronic health record system. But what do you do with all those data? How do you actually apply it to make clinical decisions? I think we're really still nascent in that understanding of changing provider behavior. In terms of implementation science, you know, how can VA leaders and managers, what can they do to improve the uptake of effective employment programs for veterans, for example? Then finally, an example of a policy science-oriented question, what is the impact of adopting race-neutral clinical tests on veterans' benefits and treatment outcomes? And we had a great example within the past couple of years where we worked with the Center for Care and Payment Innovation to look at some of these important questions, for example. Next slide, please. So our new HSR translation to policy learning cycle is where I'm going to leave it from here and then hand it over to Melissa. But wanted to just kind of give you a new glimpse of thinking about health systems research as part of a larger ecosystem of taking discovery, translation, and informing policy. So this new learning cycle that we've created is aligning scientific translation with evidence-based policymaking goals to ensure programs work for end users, the veteran, and that they have a path to sustainability, just like in those impacts we talked about earlier. It really operationalizes that repeatable cycle of research and quality improvement, so you're doing both research and quality improvement goals for a given priority. That is supported by a learning community, which includes shared governance of researchers and operational leaders, and as well as frontline providers, to basically take enterprise-wide data, that's national data, that's deep data, on a given topic, and be able to essentially curate more and better data on that topic over time. And then the idea there is, because it's really heavily focused on infrastructure around data, that you're not creating a data set here and a data set there, or a third data set that end up being siloed, that you end up creating essentially what we call platform data that could be used for future trials and future studies going forward that would also promote continuous improvement. And then finally, the idea here is that current ORD and query-funded translation of policy initiatives that have been launched hopefully will be models for the future way we fund research and quality improvement in the future. So we have three of them, aging geriatrics that we've written about recently, housing, economic security, and you know, essentially reducing veteran homelessness, and also precision oncology, which is one of our actively managed portfolios as well. Next slide, please. So allow me to deep dive even a little bit further as to really give you the overall framework of the translation of policy learning cycle, which is really our future vision for HSR being a larger part of the research community. The people include the learning community with a shared priority goal. That priority goal could be an impact goal that's focused on improving veteran outcomes. The processes include the existing governance and standard operating procedures many of you are used to in ORD, and what we're hoping to harmonize and basically make as enterprise-wide standardization in ORD. The policies involve research and quality improvement protocols, knowing the differences and the different lanes of effort of what's research and non-research. And the technologies include the data, informatics, and of course, digital health as well. But there's really different parts of the cycle that really convey where you actually curate your data, how you use it to build a cohort that could be comprehensive to understand the gaps in quality care, and then on top of that, piggyback research, trial, and quality improvement interventions to reduce those gaps in quality. Next slide, please. This other schema also just highlights what types of studies would come out of a translation of policy learning cycle. So again, it takes it from the performance to data, which is where you identify the gaps in quality using deep data, deep learning models, doing cohort analyses using longitudinal data to understand the gaps, why the gaps in quality exist, and also as a platform for clinical trials, and then finally research and quality improvement interventions that seek to further implement best practices over time. And so basically together, what this does is really create a more comprehensive set of data that can be used in a repeated way and also be improved upon over time to improve the way that we do the research and quality improvement as well. Next slide, please. So a couple of examples, as I mentioned earlier, I just want to highlight are the, we have a couple of query-funded learning health system cycles, and one of them is the Geriatrics Learning Health System led by Dr. Bravada and others, and also Geriatrics and Extended Care Leadership. We have the Homelessness Learning Health System, or SHELTER, led by Drs. Jones, Nelson, and Tsai, and also Dina Hushar and Monica Diaz from the National Program Office in Homelessness. And then finally, ORD-wide has been, well, which has been around for the last couple of years, and we've really taken this as another great model to learn from, has been our clinical precision oncology actively managed portfolio and program in conjunction with the clinical precision oncology national program office under Dr. Kelly, Martin Ryberg, and then Ken Murray, of course, and Tasos Karadeniz as well, as from the Cooperative Studies program. So again, these are three key examples of learning cycles that are essentially being built and ongoing as we speak. And for more information, we have a recently published paper in this area as well. Next slide, please. So now I just really want to thank our HSR team. Really, really happy. Also leadership from Bonnie, Liza, Eric particularly, and of course our scientific program manager and our staff team, and also our AAAS fellows, including four new fellows this coming year as well. So at this point, I believe I turn this over to Melissa. Thanks again.
Thanks, Amy. So I'm going to just provide a brief overview on query and go a little bit into a deeper dive of some of our new query initiatives. And I think Amy touched on some of them, like our learning health system initiatives, but I'll go into a little bit more detail about those. So query is a unique program in health systems research that is actually funded through clinical dollars, which enables our investigators in the field to partner with operational leaders, veterans, providers, to conduct national implementation and evaluation projects and be able to help support operational needs and pivot to address any sorts of emerging priorities. And query was established back in 1998, so about 26 years ago, with the mission of improving veteran health and well-being, and with the goal of accelerating research findings into clinical practice. And this really, query emerged as a program really during this time when several landmark studies were coming out highlighting this really large lag time between research and clinical practice. And query investigators and staff work with providers across the country to help develop tools and strategies to help them in delivering evidence-based care to veterans. And query really works across ORD and HSR and operation partners like national program offices, BISNs, facility leaders to help support the uptake of effective treatments for veterans. And more recently, query has been moving more and more into the policy space to help support national evaluations of programs and policies and help to optimize them so that they can help to improve veteran care and help to support providers in delivering evidence-based care. So Amy touched on HSR's fivefold strategic methodology. Query has a threefold strategic methodology that really builds off of HSR's methodologies and the foundational research that HSR provides. And number one, our investigators implement. And so they work closely with multi-level partners to scale up, spread, and sustain evidence-based practices to help move the needle on quality of care. Number two, they support evaluation efforts. So they work closely with national program offices and BISNs to conduct national and regional evaluations of programs and policies. And number three, we focus on dissemination and sustainment. So really looking at how we can help support a culture of learning and knowledge translation in alignment with VHA long-range planning goals focused on knowledge translation. And Query, we support over 50 centers across the country. And you can see from the map, they're located in various areas and address a lot of different types of VA priorities, everything from suicide prevention and pain and opioid to focusing on the healthcare needs of women veterans, veterans who live in rural areas, and aging populations. And this map really shows how those centers that I showed on the last slide are really helping to support implementation well beyond where their centers are located. They're partnering with over 100 national program office and VISN leaders to implement more than 45 evidence-based practices across the country. And this is really amplified by more than $22 million in funding from national program offices and VISN partners. And query implementation efforts touch all 18 VISNs are implementing across more than 800 sites in over 230 cities. So I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about some of our newer query initiatives. We have a lot of really exciting updates from the past year. Amy Kilborn became the new director for health systems research over the summer. She was the acting director for the past year, and we're really excited to have her in her permanent director position. So congratulations to Amy, and she's been getting more and more involved with ISRM level updates and strategic planning, which has also been very exciting in helping to infuse health systems research and query methods really across ISRM and ORD, and help us to learn from some of our other ORD services and portfolios. We also, in the past year, launched health systems research and query strategic planning to help us to be able to plan our vision and new initiatives for the next 5 years. Amy already touched on some of the really big success that some of the HSR funded research has led to, some scale up and spread with surgical pause. I'll also highlight a few other different types of practices that have also really moved from health systems research to query and to support from national program offices. And with surgical pause, this has been just a really great alignment between research. It was originally HSR funded and RRDT funded study, received some additional funding from NIH, really then moved into being able to get additional support through query, the National Surgery Office and VA, VISN 4, and Diffusion of Excellence, and has is implemented in 50 sites now, and was, as Amy mentioned before, received the Joint Commission and NQF Eisenberg Award for Patient Safety and Quality. We also launched 20 new partnered evaluations that are addressing a range of different VA priorities, and our Center for Evaluation Implementation Resources, SEER, as Amy mentioned, conducted a rapid evaluation to help inform VA strategic planning and helping to ensure veteran perspectives and input is incorporated into that effort. Over the past 4 years since we launched the rapid response team process, 55 projects have launched, including 12 projects this year, and they address really a range of VA priorities, everything from policy initiatives that help to address the Strong Veterans Act and Cleveland-Dole Act, to continuing to help support new technologies that VA may be piloting, and other types of workforce initiatives to help reduce clinical reminders and reduce provider burnout, as well as, of course, more clinical topics like telestroke programs and helping to enhance the impact of VA programs nationally. Amy touched on our new Learning Health System Data Science Awards and the two new learning health systems that were formed about 9 months ago, one focused on geriatrics and the other focused on housing and economic security, and really building national cohort-like data sets that can help to inform VA programs and policies and help support future evidence generation and evaluation needs. We also just funded a new learning hub. So I think we're up to 9 learning hubs. This one is focused on CFER. And we had 5 new Advancing Diversity and Implementation Leadership awards awarded over the past year. And we're really excited that since this initiative was first launched back about 3.5 years ago, we have had 21 fellows go through this program. Amy had already highlighted some of the ways that the query priority setting process has already been applied within ORD. And I, again, just want to highlight Kara Beck, our scientific program manager's paper, really describing this process. And it has been applied to the pain and opioid AMP, as well as the suicide prevention AMP. And then I also wanted to highlight some of our major, one of our major impacts from our Policy Resource Center, PEPRAC, who reviews legislative and budget proposals for their strength of evidence to help inform decision-making regarding these proposals. And they have reviewed more than 500 to date. And since this launched back when Evidence Act efforts back in 2019, they've been on average reviewing more than 100 proposals every year. And our query priority setting process is something that we have been launching every year with being able to help us identify what are the most time-sensitive emerging priorities. And for FY25, these are the 5 priorities that really rose to the top. And Amy touched on these in really different aspects. So I won't go into too much detail with these, but the couple that I really want to highlight that are a little bit newer are the focus on driving health equity and the focus on aging populations and homeless experienced veterans. And then really this new emerging priority that's becoming of national importance, not just in VA, but just more broadly around new technologies like artificial intelligence and virtual reality and how to make these work in real world settings. So as I mentioned, we launched our HSR query strategic planning about a year ago and have just been gathering information from more than 200 different interested parties and impacted groups, both within and outside of VA. We have been really excited to be able to start synthesizing this information and developing our strategic goals, one HSR query strategic plan for FY 2026 and 2030. And we are looking forward to releasing that next year. And then some of the challenges and places where there might be opportunities, we are planning on forming different types of work groups and developing communication templates and tools that can help us to be able to enhance the impact of our work and support knowledge translation efforts. So I just want to highlight a few things that came up from strategic planning. For HSR query operational partnerships, our operational partners, so this is national program offices and VISNs, who were interviewed to ask what they found to be strengths of HSR and query partnerships. And really, there was an emphasis on just the collaborative nature and responsiveness of HSR and query. They really appreciated the rigor, really the gold standard of methods there, and the ability to be able to incorporate veteran and provider perspectives into the different program efforts. And one thing that I wanted to highlight a little bit more that came up because this was a newer initiative is our rapid response team initiative. And that's something that we launched this past strategic cycle about 4 years ago. And our national program office and VISN leader feedback that we receive have been overwhelmingly positive. And these rapid response team projects are really meant to be a way of helping to support national and regional leaders in helping to roll out programs and policies that may be more time sensitive if a new legislative mandate has come out or if there is a program that they are rolling out in the next few months. The rapid response team process is really designed to help be able to provide that support more quickly than what would be our typical sorts of grant review timelines. And so this is just highlighting a few of the different projects. As Amy said, there's so many different high impact initiatives going on throughout HSR and Query, and I'm just highlighting kind of a different types of projects that are addressing different types of legislative priorities or helping to support programs and policies for that are really tailored to specific high priority populations, like rural residing veterans or homeless experienced veterans, and also highlighting just some of the new immersive reality and AI technologies that are coming out, and how the RRT process has been able to help support evaluation efforts related to that. And what was really exciting is that these those three projects on top actually led to longer term initiatives that were co-funded or fully funded by the National Program Office partner. And I wanted to highlight again with that vision of harmonizing between HSR and Query, and even more broadly within ORD, of some of the efforts beyond surgical pause that have really made a major impact in VA that led from HSR funded research into Query, into really these strong partnerships with Diffusion of Excellence and other National Program Office and VISN partners. And our Function Query Center in Durham has is implementing three evidence-based practices and has been working with partners over the last 5 years to implement these in over 140 VA medical centers, and have been closely working with the Diffusion of Excellence to help amplify the impact of their efforts. And so this has been just a really great synergy between research, Query, and operations. I also wanted to highlight our EPIC Resource Center that was funded about a couple of years ago, and they've been leading some implementation science trainings that have been really valuable to VA providers and other operational partners who may be interested in learning just enough implementation science to help support some of the innovations and evidence-based practices they may be rolling out. And they are planning to hold additional trainings this upcoming fiscal year as well. Our Advancing Diversity Implementation Leadership Program is continuing, and we're really excited. We received a lot of positive feedback about this program during strategic planning. It's really meant to be a way of supporting early career investigators and staff in being able to apply implementation, evaluation, and quality improvement methods to address a VA health system challenge. And they work closely with operational partners to be able to help design the evaluation and implement it, as well as close receive mentoring and other types of training to help them to grow and develop. And we've had 21 awards to date, and several of our fellows have gone on to new exciting positions. They've received career development awards or become a PI on a Query Center. They have also gone up more of a clinical route and maybe a clinical leader, or helping with working within program offices to be able to help support clinical initiatives. So it's a really exciting and flexible pathway for early career investigators and staff. So just spending a few minutes on some of the future directions that we're going in Query. So we are planning on continuing to really expand our work and aligning with ORD and HSR and operations, and helping to scale up, spread, and sustain evidence-based practices that come out of research. And we are this year actually recompeting our Query program centers. And so it's these are centers that are funded over 5 years. And this helps to recalibrate our centers around new priorities. It helps to help to support current emerging needs from our partners. And it is also where our rapid response teams that I mentioned earlier are embedded in these centers. Amy touched on the different learning health systems that have already been launched, and we also are continuing to post that funding opportunity. And really, these are designed to help accelerate evaluation work, to really put the data at the fingertips of of teams that can use the data to help inform decision making at the clinical level, as well as at the national and operational policy making level. We are continuing to look at how we can enhance our knowledge translation and dissemination efforts. We're really excited to be partnering with the Diffusion of Excellence to launch a query community site off of the Diffusion of Excellence platform, and again, help to make our results and findings and products more accessible to any of our partners nationwide. We have recently submitted an OMB evidence submission, which is essentially a request for additional funding to be able to help support some of these new learning health systems that we mentioned in high priority areas, as well as new evaluation work in some emerging areas of national importance like AI and immersive reality and 3D printing. And Amy mentioned earlier about ambient scribing. Our ethics center is helping to work closely with the National Artificial Institute to be able to help develop evaluations for some of the TextPrint pilots that are coming out. And then finally, we're continuing to look at how we can expand our implementation, evaluation, and quality improvement opportunities and help make this more accessible and available, especially with virtual trainings. And EPIC, as I mentioned, is planning on holding some more sessions. We have our 9 learning hubs, and we're hoping with the evidence submission that I mentioned earlier, that we will be able to expand our learning hub capacity if we do receive additional funding. So in summary, I just want to say a really big thank you to our HSR staff, our investigators in the field, and all of our partners and resource centers really have been essential in making HSR and Query thought leader in learning health systems, health services research, implementation science, and evidence-based policy. And in summary, kind of with this new alignment and vision across ORD and HSR and Query and working more closely with our operational partners, really scaling up, spreading, and sustaining effective practices through working across multiple levels of the organization and being able to link those with VHA performance plan metrics and quality of care metrics that are important to leaders and to veterans and providers. Our investigators really pivot to be able to help address some of these emerging priorities that are continuing to evolve over the years and some of the new legislative mandates, and are continuing through our learning hubs to drive a culture of knowledge translation and rapid learning in alignment with VA priorities around knowledge translation. And finally, really being able to help support providers and sites in implementing programs and policies and ensuring that national programs and policies really work at the clinic level, especially for sites that are experiencing quality gaps and in populations that are experiencing disparities. And just wanted to close again with highlighting our team, A.B. Kilborn, who again has led Query the last 12 years and really helped to form this vision of what we are today. And Kara and Stephanie and Marquise really keep our program running from day to day. And all of our resource centers who are supporting our investigators in the field, as well as our operational partners. And with that, we just want to say a big thank you and happy to take any questions.
Fantastic. Thank you. For the audience, we do have plenty of time for questions left here. This call is scheduled until 1:30, so we do have a good amount of time left for questions here. If you do have a question, please use that Q&A screen in WebEx to submit that into us. I'm going to start what we have here and hopefully a few more coming in. The first question that I have here, what is the relationship between HSR Query and various initiatives under the Office of Healthcare Innovation and Learning?
Yeah, I guess I can start with that. Melissa can fill in as well. So the Office of Healthcare Innovation and Learning includes the Innovation Ecosystem, Diffusion of Excellence, and we've been really strong partners with them for the past several years. And in fact, when Diffusion of Excellence, which was the Shark Tank initiative that came out several years ago, it was really, really important for Query. Really, Query led the way in terms of partnering with the Diffusion of Excellence to do key evaluations of those promising practices that ended up as gold status practices in a Shark Tank. And basically, our Query Center for Evaluation and Implementation resources really carried the torch and provided additional foundational training in both evaluation and implementation of those innovations and those gold status practices over time. So we've had a very, very strong relationship with OHIL. And what's really unique is that OHIL can really has really great sentience in terms of what is going on across the frontline providers around the United States who work for the VA and have really been instrumental in really helping to tap into the creativity of our frontline providers in the VA. And what we strive to do, especially starting with Query, but also foundationally with HSR Query, is providing that additional support those frontline providers can take advantage of, everything from our evaluation guidance to understanding how to implement something, you know, what are implementation strategies, things like that. That's been a very invaluable relationship. And it's also helped us to get on the map in terms of making sure that we're seen as a trusted purveyor of really data and evaluation for these important practices. I don't know, Melissa, you want to add anything else that we've done?
Yeah, no, I think one of the things that is really striking is just the complementarity of OHIL and HSR Query's efforts. We've learned a lot from OHIL and Diffusion of Excellence, and we have provided, you know, evaluation and training support that Amy mentioned. But it's also been really exciting to learn a lot of the different types of approaches that Diffusion and other groups within OHIL use, and that's helped to really shape Query. So yeah, we have close partnerships throughout OHIL.
Great, thank you. The next question that I have here: how does HSR Query work interplay with efforts of VA quality and patient safety and OHI's integrated health practice?
So we have a lot of HSR investigators who have worked with the National Center for Patient Safety and also other entities within quality and patient safety in general under the assistant deputy undersecretary role. One key example has been the use of a lot of the performance metrics across the country that we've applied and looked at and also included in our query request for applications, for example, to ensure that all of our projects were measuring impacts, especially on veteran quality of care. In addition, places like the National Center for Patient Safety have been very generous in supporting at least one or two of our query partner evaluations. They've done a ton of work to help us understand and allow us to interview frontline providers on high reliability organization models, for example, and we've helped to pivot. That's really pivoted into some foundational work around defining HROs that our evidence synthesis program has published. So quite a bit. I think, you know, in general, they really are probably exemplary in terms of national program offices that involve investigators from HSR Query into their day-to-day activities, into the needs that they have in terms of evaluation and quality improvement. And in turn, I think are very open to learning or at least having their work be informed by new foundational methods that get discovered by our health services researchers.
Great, thank you. The next question here: how do investigators new to query projects enter the query network? For example, do we reach out to and partner with an established query center relevant to our projects, or is entry based on query projects approved for funding?
Sure, so you can reach directly out to the centers that you see on our website if there are specific clinical topic areas that resonate with what you're working on. You can also reach out to our Center for Evaluation and Implementation Resources, or CEER, and they can kind of help with, especially if you're interested in trainings, help with finding a learning hub, and that can also connect you with our query centers. And the other part there is you can also talk to our office, if you're interested in applying for under funding opportunities. So Carrot Beck is our scientific program manager for that. So lots of pathways that you can take. And we have a very friendly group in Query, so feel free to reach out to any center that has a clinical topic area that you're interested in, or if you happen to be local to a center, to go ahead and reach out to the center directly, and maybe you might be able to meet in person with them.
Great, thank you. The next question here. The state of Texas on your map has so few partners. Is there a reason why this is so?
So we have, I need to go back to look at the map, but we have lots of implementation efforts going on in Texas. We have a lot of coverage in terms of implementation. Our centers in Texas are our evidence-based policy evaluation center. We also have several centers that have sites in Texas. So unfortunately, because I didn't want to crowd the map too much, we only showed the primary sites of where centers are located, but we actually have several sites in Texas where our centers branch out to. So we'll try to kind of play around with the map a little bit to show the coverage a little better, but there's a lot of implementation efforts and there are a lot of sites that we fund in Texas. It's just that the primary site was what we showed on the map. Amy, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add.
Oh, sure. No, I was going to comment about how big Texas was, and sometimes some of these dots kind of appear smaller in some of the bigger states. But having said that, you covered that well. I would mention too that the other centers that are really involved in Texas, mostly in what's in Vision 17, that's the network. Those include our HSR-funded Center of Excellence on Veteran and Caregiver Support. The hub there is San Antonio. We also have a lot of activity, actually, a new consortium of research that is centered at Dallas, Texas, and with the academic affiliation there in UT Health Science Center, and also the Dallas VA. And that's focused on veteran housing and economic security. And then a lot of innovation work has also been at that same facility as well. I think it's growing. Technically, I think what we're seeing a lot more of is, I think a lot of these more population-based areas of research that I think really leverage the strengths that the Vision 17 has particularly. And also I have to really thank the leadership in Vision 17 for really embracing a lot of new HSR query initiatives as well.
Great, thank you. The next question here, how would a national program office get started in engaging HSR query to help improve chronic disease management related to cardio, kidney, metabolic disorders in primary care settings?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think I would first start with reaching out to one of us, myself or Melissa, and I can connect you to our scientific program managers who focus in that area. Also, the other piece too is if you want to poke around our website, there's a section there that you can actually look up studies that are focused already on this topic of interest. I'll just note in particular in the area of kidney and metabolic disorders, a few years ago, we helped to support some of the work around the cystatin C kidney function test that was actually an awardee from another part of ORD, the Barnell awardee, who received that award for the creation, the innovation of that test. And we were very much interested in supporting its further implementation. So in many respects, there's a lot of potential there to maybe even expand national presence. The other thing too to consider as a national program office, if you want to get involved and get more immediate help, go to Query, because Query has a number of avenues in which you can get support, and it can be as little as consultation. It can also be looking at rapid response team initiatives or just getting a Query investigator involved to help with some day-to-day support. The beauty of Query funding and I'll let Melissa talk a little bit more about this, is that it's considered non-research, and so it can move more quickly than HSR funding. But the advantage of going to both HSR queries, HSR has the foundational scientific methods and the knowledge basis in these key areas that are supported by research and researchers, so they can provide guidance on methods and the body of research, and query can support a lot more of the action, or what I call the applied work as well. So those are just a couple of suggestions right off the top of my head. I don't know if Melissa, you want to add more?
No, I think that is great, and that if you want to, like Amy said, reach out to us or also our Center for Evaluation and Implementation Resources. They offer consultations to help think about where the proposed support that's needed could fall with an HSR query, and even more broadly with an ORD as well.
Great, thank you. The next question here, have potential operational partners been told about these initiatives and any plans to support these national offices to implement these proposals?
So for all of our query funded initiatives, we work closely with our operations partners. So we communicate through a lot of different forums, like our national, different national calls that our operational partners might have, where we can present on these new initiatives. We also have annual meetings with them and other types of meetings throughout the year. And we are heavily involved with the VHA evidence-based policy subcommittee. Our policy resource center, PEPREC, helps to manage that. And so lots of avenues for getting input from our different operational partners, as well as being able to communicate some of these new initiatives that we're launching based on their input. And that was also part of our strategic planning process. And one of the requirements of most query applications is that there is a strong letter of support, including the commitment of funding or other types of resources like data to help support the proposed project, as well as how that project aligns with VA priorities and that program office or BISN's priorities and goals.
Yeah, I think I would also, that's great. I think the other thing too is that one of the advantages of working with an HSR investigator or query investigator is that they can help different program offices talk to each other. Because what we find sometimes is we have a cycle, we have a process by which we communicate back to our operational partners the impacts of the work that they are either endorsing or they know about. But oftentimes we kind of miss things, or it may be situations where there's something that transcends a single program office, and we really need to bring more than one program office together. And I think about, you know, some of these big ticket topics around value-based care, access to care, even homelessness. I mean, it's not just the National Center on Homelessness that's responsible for a lot of that work. You know, they also have to rely on other groups such as, you know, emergency department, and also the primary care program office, places like that, to actually be able to coordinate services. So we often can be seen as a conduit in which different program offices that are often too kind of focus so much on, as they should be, on the policies that they generate, that we can help help them talk to each other and collaborate more.
Great, thank you. Next question here. What is the vision for veteran and families within HSR query? How do you continue to advance veteran stakeholder engagement in research?
Sure, well, that's definitely a topic near and dear to our hearts. It's called out in the HSR Foundational Learning Health System Methodologies as engagement science in general. One practical way we've been able to do this more frequently has been with the work that Melissa and especially Kara Beck have done on essentially utilizing existing networks of veteran engagement groups, veteran engagement councils across our centers of innovation and other centers, to elicit input on research priorities and eventually to also help co-design research methods as well. And the reason is it's often, people often don't know where to go when they want to involve veterans or patient engagement in a study. And we have like an existing network of all these different veteran engagement groups that can really be tapped into. They did a brilliant job with the last iteration with the pain and opioid actively managed portfolio and basically helped design a list of priority areas that ended up informing the notice of special interest for the pain and opioid actively managed portfolio for future research. So I think in terms of a vision, we really believe that it's really needs to be a two-way street and needs to be ongoing. So I think that, and also you want to involve that perspective from the beginning in terms of your conceptualization of a research or quality improvement topic as well. And the other piece too is because we're also the largest single provider of healthcare in the country and the largest employer of doctors, nurses, and social workers and other frontline providers, we find it imperative and also a neat opportunity to also include as part of the engagement work on the engagement of frontline providers. Because you're not going to be able to get adequate access to care for veterans if you don't have enough providers and you don't have enough providers who feel supported. And so that's also been a strength of our engagement science work as well, is that we have tapped into national networks of local, regional, and national level frontline providers. Each facility usually has a designee in a certain topic area, like that's the person focused on mental health or a person who's primary care or a particular disease or population focus area. And they often have national calls with the national program office. So that's usually our first conduit that we reach out to if there's a special area that we can say, hey, we're doing research in this area. What input do you have? Or how would we design your research to better fit your needs?
Great. Thank you. We've got a follow-up from a previous question. Thanks for the great answer about HSR query interplay with QPS. Following up with the second part of my original question, HSR query interplay with OHI's integrated health practice work. I think you guys missed that part of the question.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about the integrated health practice network, or maybe put in a chat a link that I can look that up?
Perfect. While we're waiting for that, next question here. What advice would you give to someone who is not at a query network site and not working full-time in a research role, but interested in getting involved with query?
Sure. So you could reach out to our Center for Evaluation and Implementation Resources here, and they can help route you to either a center or to a learning hub so that you can start to get connected into the query network. We fund both kind of in researchers, but we also fund a lot of people who have clinical positions too. So you don't have to be in a research role to receive query funding. That's one of the things I also wanted to just note. And then feel free to reach out to other centers, even if they're not at the same site as you, if they have a clinical topic or a project that you're really interested in. The sites that I showed on the map are just the primary sites. So they could have other secondary sites that might be at the same location as you, and that's not what highlighted on our website, because again, the map would get a little too crowded. So there might be other query investigators actually at your site and that you could connect with as well.
Great, thank you. We had a comment here regarding the Texas question. Please note that Texas also includes VISN 16 as well as 17. Houston VA is in VISN 16 and has an HSR coin with many major partners. HSR Core partnered with ONS, the query-funded Hermes Evidence-Based Policy Evaluation Center, and a query leading healthcare improvement implementation training hub, as well as other query funding. Texas is a big state, as you noted, with lots of opportunities for VA investigators. Thank you, Laura.
I am so glad about that. I didn't want to leave out VISN 16. Of course, they include Houston, and I know that's always been, and I probably is like, you know, I'm sure Texas, the rest of the state would want to swallow up Vision 17, want to swallow up that part of Vision 16, but that's not happening. So absolutely, I think Houston has been a powerhouse and for many, many years for HSR and Quarry work. So thanks for that clarification. I really appreciate that. Also, I'm going to interject, if you don't mind, Heidi, and answer that question about the Office of Healthcare Informatics. I do remember, and I wanted to make sure I had the right acronym because there's been a lot of changes with the healthcare informatics and the new program offices being established. I want to make sure I could accurately address that question that came up earlier, but there has been a lot of work primarily in some of the economic modeling and the impact of the EHR modernization that has been heavily involved with input from the Office of Healthcare Informatics and many of our query funded and HSR funded centers. And so, for example, PEPRED has been doing some work in the space of understanding the economic and workforce impacts of the EHR modernization. In addition, we've had Scholar and Empiric, both query funded partner evaluation initiatives that have touched upon some of the same areas of work. And thirdly, we're also have listed as a priority area digital health, AI, and informatics in general for a consortium of research focused on an area that's really including, our partnership with the Office of Healthcare Informatics. So lots to do in addition to lots that's already been done, and we are looking forward with more collaborations with that program. Thanks.
Thanks. And Jared just sent in a little bit of an update there. It's what you, Amy, Jonathan Nebaker, and Jerry Osheroff discussed. Integrated health practices are products OHI creates to improve care processes and outcomes with informatics-enabled approaches. One example was work with Dr. Crowley, submitter of chat question about CKM support. We developed some promising solutions, and Dr. Crowley and I are exploring opportunities to build on that to get quintuple aim needles to move for CKD. I'm wondering, as is Dr. Crowley, whether how there are synergies with Query HSR.
Yeah, it's a perfect opportunity to have. Let's take an offline discussion about those opportunities. I suggest you reach out to Melissa and talk and myself, and we can, definitely follow up with some ideas about what the next steps could be. But that's, there's so much we can do, and I think there's a lot more exciting stuff down the road that we can focus on. So thanks for those suggestions.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, next question here. Can you give me an example of the new mechanism of learning healthcare system research mechanism that Query would find relevant?
Sure. So we have our funding announcement describing the Learning Health System Data Science funding opportunity posted online. So that gives a lot more details, but there's 10 priority areas that we are looking at forming learning health systems to help address those priorities. And Amy highlighted in the slides the geriatrics and the learning health system for housing and economic security, and the housing and economic security group is working on developing a national cohort-like data set of veterans that can include information from potentially other agencies as well, and really help to us to be able to have a more complete picture of veterans' lived experiences that really goes beyond kind of the typical healthcare utilization data that we have in health services research and query projects. And so if you are interested in learning more, you can always reach out to those teams that we already have currently funded to learn more about their projects. And we also have our scientific program manager, Carrick Back, who can help to answer any questions about the Learning Health System RFA.
Great, thank you. The next question here. HSR and Query are recognized nationally and internationally as leaders in health system science. How do you coordinate your research priorities with those of other national and international leaders in this area?
In Query, we fund our implementation research group that's led by Christine Kowalski, and That helps to be able to share learnings in different implementation science areas. And I know that group, I think it's grown to more than 600 individuals who are both located in the US and also internationally. And so that's one way that we help to kind of share learnings throughout our query and international networks. And Amy, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you really covered a main one. I think I would also say with the other funders, we have representation on several of the councils at NIH. You know, I have Dr. Henderson or her representation, NIMH Council and AHRQ, and that's a conduit for sharing information and best practices and what we're funding and what they're funding. In addition to that, we also are really and we also ensure that we share information about what our priorities are and how they're set. And, you know, because we're uniquely embedded in a national healthcare system that focuses on a particular population, our focus is on essentially veteran-centric healthcare issues. And so we follow a lot of what ORD is prioritizing and what they get priorities from in terms of Congress as well. When it comes to the field of implementation science and some of the other areas, we deliberately picked the Learning Health System as a framework because that really followed directly from the AHRQ core competencies of Learning Health Systems. And what we did was really kind of distill it into these five major areas that are considered like foundational research methods that also are used to apply the, essentially they're also used to apply to improve quality of care as well. So we have a lot of dialogue with these other funding agencies. You know, I'll just note too that BA research is probably half the size of a typical NIH institute like NIMH. And so we're kind of a small player in a bigger field of different funding agencies, you know, NIH, PCORI, DOD, and even National Science Foundation. But I think what we uniquely contribute to is research that is prioritized around the veteran and also around healthcare system focused research, whether it be in basic clinical or health systems research.
Great, thank you. Next question here. I'm curious, what implementation effort is happening in Puerto Rico? They have a pointer on the map.
That is something that we can follow up with you offline about because we'd have to go back and look at the reports. But I think that is probably one of the implementation efforts led by our center in Ann Arbor, MIDAS. Potentially their their CBT for insomnia practice. But we can follow up with you offline.
Great, thank you. Next question here. Will the LHS data science opportunity be available next year?
It is posted for this cycle, the winter 2025 cycle, and depending on funding and how many awards are awarded this cycle, informs whether it'll be posted for the summer 2025 cycle.
Great, thank you. That is all of the questions that we have received in. Just want to check if Amy or Melissa, if you have any closing remarks you'd like to make before we close today's session out.
Just a really big thank you, Heidi, to your team and to everyone for joining us for today's Cyber Seminar. This has been really exciting and really excited to follow up and with others offline to see kind of what other partnerships might form up after this. Amy, do you have any other remarks you'd like to make?
No, just thanks again. You had some great questions. Really appreciated Heidi and her team for putting on the cyber seminar. And thanks again to Melissa for leading query going forward and really looking forward to working with all of you in the future. So thanks again for your thoughts and ideas.
Thank you so much. For the audience, thank you everyone for joining us today. When you leave the session, you will be prompted with a feedback form. We would appreciate if you took a few moments to fill that out. Thank you everyone for joining us for today's HSR Query Cyber Seminar, and we look forward to seeing you at a future session. Have a great afternoon, everyone.